Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
5 of 6 points. Could we have scripted it any better in Calgary? Now let's see if we can continue this play. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. Episode number 85. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Coming at you January 21st, 2021. Seems crazy to say that, doesn't it? Man, 2020 was a rough year. But it seemed like it didn't go by quick, but the calendar went by quick, if that makes sense. We're smack dab in the middle of a break with no Flames hockey. We just got going. We got 3 games, and now we wait. We wait 5 days. But what does this do for our team? Is this a good thing? Because I think so. I think this gives us practice. And that's something that some of our other division teams haven't got. Vancouver hasn't seen practice because they've been busy playing games every day. Same with Edmonton. And, you know, it's weird because we get 3 games right away and we just kind of get into the flow as a fan, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, we lose that. And but, you know, it kind of is what it is. And I think it's actually going to be a beneficial thing because practice this time of year can't hurt, that's for sure. Definitely can't hurt. Help that team gel together. We can't forget that as well as this team is playing, we have a lot of new players in this team and a lot of players that haven't got a lot of practice time together. So I think that is a positive. Wow, watching the North Division. Is everybody as into it as I am? I have no idea who to cheer for on a nightly basis. I pretty much cheer for no overtimes. That's what I cheer for. Because, I mean, yeah, maybe I cheer against Ottawa, or maybe I want Ottawa to upset somebody. I don't know where I want to be, who to cheer for. I just cheer for no overtimes. Because this division is going to be ridiculously close. With this division, do you guys feel like you guys have forgotten the rest of the league, though? I have. I've watched a few games outside the division. It just seems like when I click on the North, I get entertained. And it's too damn hard to turn those off. So they might be playing hockey outside of Canada, but I haven't watched a lot of it, that's for sure. Ready for the Flames to get back at it on Sunday, even though it's a day game as the Leafs come to town, and the talented Leafs, we can say that. I hate afternoon games. Man, I hate them. But you know what? I guess you're going to get a few here or there, and I guess there's no getting around that. So, we'll fight through it and we'll battle through it and we'll enjoy a Sunday afternoon, even though it's, going to cut into football for a lot of people. But, you know, I think what's more important, Flames hockey or football? Yeah. Not really much of a question for me. Let's talk hockey. On this episode, we got a jam-packed episode. We have live games to talk down, live games to break down, talk about who's hot, who's not. We'll talk about that Winnipeg opener. And, the 2-game set at home also, the Winnipeg opener in Winnipeg. And we'll talk about the 2-game homestand with Vancouver. We'll discuss the Flames' early season success and what's going right for this team to get off to a start where they've earned 5 of 6 possible points. Then former Flames goalie and NHL All-Star Dwayne Rolison joins the show, and he'll talk about his time in Edmonton, Minnesota, and a little bit about his entire NHL career and family. And then we'll talk Flames news from the division, a listener question, which involves David Riddick. And when do we see David Riddick? And we'll talk a little bit and preview that 2-game homestand at the Settle Dome against the Toronto Maple Leafs. All right, Flames fans, we have live games to talk about. Let's recap quickly the three games the Flames have played. It started on a Thursday night in Winnipeg a week ago today. Doesn't seem like it should be that long, but it is. Flames Jets. Flames jump out to a 3-1 lead after one. Things look good. Flames dominate that first period. Jets dominate the second period, and the third is kind of all over the place. Line A scores the game winner in overtime on a shot that he fanned on and then was able to corral and get a very strong second shot off. Anyways, Flames fall in that one 4-3 in OT, in which was somewhat of a disappointing game. We earned a point, but I feel like we gave a point there that on this one because we controlled that first period so much that I thought it was time to button down the hatchets and win that game. And that scared me a little bit when we didn't, because that was shades of last year where we had trouble when we would get a lead buttoning down and being strong defensively. I thought we had great game from Markstrom, even though the score reflected four goals. I thought Markstrom was outstanding. I thought Backlund was very, very good. Tanev impressed me. And actually, Sam Bennett impressed me in that first game. And I know the second and third games have not went very well for him, but, you know, he moved up the depth chart in this game. And we cannot expect Bennett to succeed if we bury him on the fourth line. It just won't happen. We might as well deal him. We might as well get something. It's not going to happen if we bury him on the fourth line. Now, where do you go? He moved up onto the third line with Mangiapane and Backlund that game and was very good. Struggled a little bit in games two and three. Now, Lucic on the other hand, I just don't know what to do with this guy. And they talked a little bit about in Flames Nation the other night, Pat Steinberg did, and I threw in my two cents, and Pat agreed with me. He made a great point, and I agree with him in the fact that Lucic isn't playing where he need, you know, up to his standards he needs to. But maybe if they platooned him a little bit and didn't play him every single game and got Nordstrom in, Simone in, and had that fourth line kind of being a rotation. I think that's a great idea, and I think that's what they should do. But we'll see what happens there. But we can't keep putting him out there when he's struggling like he is. Him and I thought Mangiapane struggled slightly in that first game. I would not say that about Mangiapane in games two and three. Let's roll on to game two, which was Vancouver Saturday night at home at the Saddle Dome. Too bad we all couldn't be there to watch that. The Flames win 3-0. In what was I considered a full 60-minute game for the Calgary Flames. Markstrom shuts out his old team, and he was outstanding. There's no other way to describe how good Jacob Markstrom was, but this guy is going to be a good goaltender, and this guy is going to be a difference maker on this organization. And it's turned a lot of heads already around the league is, you know, maybe the Flames are a contender. You know, maybe they are. When they get goaltending at that level, is this team for real? Bennett struggled with penalties, and I was very frustrated with Bennett in this game. Just when you felt like momentum was going, he'd take an offensive zone penalty. And I'm not trying to pick on him. I've been a defender of Bennett from day one, and I probably always will, just because I see this guy playing. I see so much potential, so much upside, and as soon as then something bad happens, it's like, oh, geez. This guy's got to get it going, but I still will go to my grave thinking if we think that we're going to get this guy rolling on the third and fourth line, it's not going to happen. Tanev now has become quickly my favorite player on this team. This guy's an animal. He's a horse out there. He will do anything, block shots. He had I don't know if it's an individual personal best, but he had like eight blocks on the Thursday night game against Winnipeg, which is amazing. And, you know, you get a guy like him to show that leadership on a back end that many people doubted coming into the year, which we'll talk about later in the show, has probably been one of the biggest bright spots. Good games, I thought. Markstrom, obviously, with a shutout, outstanding. Mangiapane was good. Tanev was good. I thought Derek Ryan actually had a really good game in game two, which was good to see. And on my bad boys list is Lucic, who struggled again. And Bennett, who struggled again. And I'm gonna try to get Lucic off that struggle thing. But if they platoon him and just didn't have them out there in every single game, and it seems like he'll make a bad play and Ward will put him right back out there. And I understand why you do that, but usually you do that with a young player. You shouldn't have to do that with Lucic. But they keep having to just keep plug him out there and plug him out there and plug him out there. And I don't agree with that, and I don't like it. Game 3, Monday night. Here at the Saddle Dome, Vancouver again. I love this new baseball-style schedule. I love it. I love it. Flames win 5-2. Great performance. Goals from Gaudreau, Backlund, Lindholm, Giordano, and Anderson. Vancouver dominated the first period, and I was kind of like, oh, boy. Here we go. This one's going to be interesting. And then all of a sudden, Calgary just took over. And when I mean took over, I mean they took over. And the second and third was all Calgary. Markstrom allows 2 goals. Ironically, both of those goals went off of Flames players. Interesting. Dubé injured in the second period. He left, did not return. We will update that later on here in the show. Markstrom was outstanding. Tanev was good. Lindholm was amazing. He's starting to prove to me that he is a number one center in this league. And I thought Captain Gio had a really, really good night. All in all, a good game. 3 games in the books, 5 points out of 6. There isn't a Flames fan in the world that wouldn't be happy with that. Let's dive into early season success and what's going right for this Flames team. And it starts off right away with goaltending. Jacob Markstrom has played all 3 games and has looked outstanding. He posts a 1.99 goals against average, a .935 save percentage. And the biggest thing with him, he just looks calm out there. He is a calming factor. He just is calm. And when you have that composure, that rubs off on the rest of the team. It just does. He does a great job staying in position and making those key saves. And when I talk about those key saves, he made 1 to 2 key saves in each of those games at the moment when you need that big save. And I remember a 5-on-3 power play. I believe it was in the Saturday night game that Vancouver had, and Markstrom made 2 big saves. And that just changes everything. That 5-on-3 just changed everything. And, you know, if we can get good goaltending like this through the year, things are going to look really, really good for this team. Markstrom's stats speak for themselves. Another thing that the second of 3 things that I think are going real well for this Flames team is the defense. And you say the defense, you're like, well, what's been so great with the defense? Because it doesn't really stand out as, you know, a huge high point for this team. But it really is when you think about it and you look at it. Well, a lot of people doubted it. And you got guys like Giordano who people are saying, well, he's old and, you know, stuff like that. Giordano has been fairly solid. I thought he had his best in game 3. I thought he struggled in the Winnipeg game. Rasmus Anderson's been great. He's been quarterback in that number 1 power play. He's got a goal and 2 assists in 3 games, a point a game defenseman thus far. But it really comes down to Chris Tanev. And Tanev's been everything and more than what we've expected in his first 3 games. A complete workhorse out there. But the big surprise is this. And when you get guys that'll do this, this is what separates the good from the great. We have a guy, Nesterov, who's been playing over in the KHL. He comes back. And no, he doesn't jump out on the stats. He has no points. But could you ask for a more solid defenseman than Nesterov? He looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Now, we forget that this guy did play for Russia in the World Cup of Hockey, which is elite. He was in the World Juniors. He's been around. I mean, he's played at high, high levels. But this guy's been over in the KHL. I don't really call it that much of a risk, but somewhat of a risk to bring him in. But we didn't even... I mean, our scouts did a wonderful job because they didn't even seem to hesitate penciling him in on the top 6. And he's been paired alongside Valimaki, who's still considered a rookie but has been around a while but has been dealing with injuries. And the ceiling is sky high for Vallamaki, and I think thus far he's done pretty darn well with what we can expect. He's had a few struggle moments, which is expected, but he's had some very, very good moments where he's looked like a veteran out there. But him paired with Nesterov has been a huge bright spot. They've been stalwarts out there in that third pairing. And when you have that in your third pairing, boy, does that make the other two pairings look really, really good. And defense has been a real big bright spot in Calgary thus far. Another thing that has really stood out as a key to this great start for the Flames is top-end scoring. We kind of have Monahan and Gaudreau back a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying the Savior's here and we're good to go on Gaudreau and Monahan, but they look better. And I think I know why they look better. Are they really considered our first line anymore? Are we calling on them, putting all the pressure on them? Is it up to them to succeed? No, it's not. With Lindholm moved over, centering Tkachuk and Dubé, that line has emerged, and I think we have a passing of the guard in Calgary. Ward is putting out Monahan and Gaudreau and a little bit more situational type things. And these are all bright spots. Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm lead the team in scoring with 4 points each. Gaudreau, 2 goals, 2 assists. Lindholm, 2 goals, 2 assists. And Monahan, 1 goal, 3 assists. Tkachuk, 1 point behind with 2 goals, 1 assist. Tkachuk's been a horse in front of the net with his tips. It's been great. I'm a little iffy on the bottom six right now on how it's all going to shake out. I'm not saying it's been bad. It hasn't been great, but I think that'll all work itself out over the next 2 weeks when we have a lot of games and we determine what's the best system. And maybe Ward will implement that rotation with Lucic. I think that would be a great thing. We're going to learn a lot about Simone and Nordstrom here in the next couple weeks. I don't dislike what I see. I'm not off the charts happy with what I see, though, either. Levo, I like him on the Gaudreau-Monahan line. I do. I think that's been good. His size. I didn't realize, I mean, I've seen him play many times, but I never realized that size and how that helps Monahan and Gaudreau. I kind of like that fit. Is he going to get a bunch of points from us? No. But if he can keep Gaudreau and Monahan up at the top of our scoring, isn't he doing his job? I think this week will be telling on Sam Bennett where we go with him. And we'll see what happens with Lucic. But you know what? If you're a Calgary Flames fan, right now, you're loving life.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now, he played 18 professional seasons with 6 NHL teams, a 4-year stint with the Calgary Flames organization, and NHL All-Star Dwayne Rolison. Thanks for joining me, Dwayne.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to be here. Road to the NHL. You started in the NCAA UMass Lowell, undrafted. How was your road to getting signed by the Calgary Flames?
It was long. Obviously, as a kid growing up in Canada, you aspire to be an NHL player. That's your goal. That's always your dream. You know, you get a shutout in the playoffs, or you score the game winning, the Stanley Cup winning goal. You know, you're dreaming about those things. And you know, by the time I got to junior hockey, I had a couple stints in the OHL where, you know, go to tryouts, and it wasn't really a goal that I wanted to go. The path that I wanted to go down. So my last year junior, I ended up getting a scholarship out of nowhere and ended up going to Lowell and was able to take advantage of 4 years getting a degree. And, yeah. You know, the way I was looking at it is like, at the end of this, I get 4 years to play hockey where I would have been done playing junior and I get a degree out of it, a piece of paper that no one else can take away from me. So I went and got that, and then things kept on changing, and next thing you know, I got signed by the Flames and spent a couple of years in St. John, New Brunswick, and then up to Calgary.
How was your time in Calgary?
I loved it. I met my wife there, who's originally from my hometown. Her family's from my hometown, but They had moved out there in 88 after the Olympics, and then so I met her there, so obviously that's a big part of our lives, and it's a great city, great people, and it's just it's one of those places that you always remember.
You know, you played in six different NHL cities. Minnesota was a big stop for you. A lot of great years in Minnesota. You and Manny Fernandez were really one of the premier 1-2 punches in the NHL for goalie tandems. You made your first ever All-Star appearance there. Talk to us a little bit about how that All-Star appearance was.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal at the time. Like, you know, and then as the weekend went on, it was just like, you're grabbing yourself. You're like, am I really doing this? Cause it's, you know, you never get, you know, it's something you think about and you would like to happen, but you know, you're never in the talks, as you know, and next thing you know, you're playing in a game. And, you know, I was lucky, like Joe Sakic was there who's a friend, Rob Blake, who Rob and I grew up playing hockey together all the way in youth hockey. So he was there. Then a couple other guys that I knew well were playing in the game. So it made things a little bit easier, but it was nerve wracking. And, actually Brett, my boy here, that's my 20-year-old boy, was, I think, three, maybe four at the time. And, Thor Nelson, a local linesman, he did the game, and he brought his family down. So Brett took them in through the locker room and all that stuff. So it was neat, and it was neat for them to be able to see it. And my parents came. So it was good for them. It was good family time, and it was an experience that I'll never forget.
You know, while you were in Minnesota, you took the Minnesota Wild to a conference finals in their second year or third year after the Minnesota Wild started back up in Minnesota. Your time in Minnesota, was that what you would consider your most elite time of your career?
I think it was my coming back to the NHL. When younger you sign, you make it to the NHL and great, but then you forget how much work went into getting you there. And, you know, so I spent a couple years in Calgary, then 2 years in Buffalo, and played 14 games in 2 years behind Dominic Hasek. And so, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I'll get another NHL gig somewhere. And no, I had to go back to the minors. So I'm 30 years old. My wife's pregnant with their firstborn. And like, do I really want to do this? You know, I had to really self-check, and, you know, so I, you know, put everything into having a good season in Worcester, and end up leading every goaltending category except for losses that year. And so from that point on, I think my career sort of took off. It was like, you know, realizing, okay, you know, I made it, but that's not enough. You know, how do you stay here now, right? So, you know, so thinking that, and I just every year was just driving myself to get better and better. And, you know, in Minnesota, we had a great cast, great coaching staff in Minnesota with Jock and Rammer and Mario. And our team, you know, there were a bunch of throwaways from everyone else. And, you know, guys are third and fourth line guys that were career minor leaguers, you know, all on one team. And, you know, this, the drive from everyone else, I think made us a good team, you know, and good teams win, you know, and individuals don't really win. It's the team mentality. And that's why we had the success that we did.
Another big success that you had was in 06 with the Edmonton Oilers. And, that, you know, being a Flames fan, and that, it was tough to watch Edmonton do that, but, it was actually the way the Oilers progressed that year and then went into the playoffs, and the success you had on that Oilers team, and, an unfortunate injury in game one, ended that. And what many people would say, that if, you know, that injury didn't happen, you know, Edmonton may have another cup. And, when you look back at that, and, how was your time in Edmonton, and how was that run, and how big was the city of Edmonton during that run?
Yeah, you know, when you look back, it's what you remember is just the city itself, how electric the city was, and I don't know if it ever happened in the U.S., but in Canada, the city ran out of beer twice. Like, they were trucking beer in from Calgary, just because they ran out of beer. Just, you know, everyone was out, you know, during the first round. I remember driving to the airport. We had to drive down TransCanada and out, and, you know, and it's a long way out. It's about 40 minutes, right? And then, you know, as we keep on going further and further along, that drive wasn't 40 minutes. It became an hour, hour and 15, because you had to go all the way out of your way because they're blocking streets, shutting down streets because everyone was out, you know, up by the University of Alberta. It's a place called White Ave, and it's sort of like, for you, Electric Ave in Calgary. It's where all the bars and restaurants are, and it's close to the university, but that street was shut down, you know, three blocks on north and south side of it. You know, from all the restaurants and all the bars in the area was shut down. Like, you could not drive down. So, you know, people were out, and, you know, it was great. Like, anywhere you went, it was just the excitement and, for the fans there. And, you know, I remember the one time in San Jose, we're singing the national anthems, and the guy in San Jose messed up the Canadian national anthem. And a radio station in Edmonton at the time said, okay, we're going to somebody's going to sing the song until game time tonight. Sing the American national anthem. And they did. Sure enough, that's when it started being a thing. Our public address announcer, the guy that was singing the national anthem, started singing the national anthems, and he got two notes in, and the building just erupted, right? And sang both the American and Canadian national anthems, and from that point on, like, it was craziness in the city. And those are the things you remember and enjoy, and you look back, we did some bunch of Zoom calls and talks about different things this summer, actually, because we had some time. And, you know, it's just the great memories. And, you know, unfortunately we've lost some people from that run, with Joey Moss in particular. You know, it's a big hit to the city, but at the same time, to give credit to the city for embracing Joey through everything that's gone on.
You know, you played for six NHL teams. When you think back at your NHL career, what is there one team that stands out as when people say you played in the National Hockey League, that you name that team? Or is there one that stands out, or what NHL home do you call home?
I don't really call them all home, really. You know, because there's good and bad about every organization, and obviously there's a lot more good than bad. You know, there's, you know, Long Island, you'd hear all the rumblings about Long Island. I love my time in Long Island. You know, everyone makes fun of Edmonton. You know, we loved Edmonton. You know, Calgary, same thing. Minnesota, same thing. Tampa, same thing. Like, everywhere we were, there was always something really, really good about it. And we met a lot of great people along the way. And, you know, my sons were young, and they both pretty much have one good friend from every stop. So, which is great. Great on them. You know, and they keep in touch, and it's good for us too to see that, you know, they're able to branch out as well. So there's a lot of great things, a lot of great people, a lot of time traveling, and give my wife a lot of credit for putting up for 18 years of this.
Absolutely. When you look at Canadian markets versus U.S. markets, talk a little bit. You were fortunate enough to play in both, in multiple stops in both. How different is fan bases in Canada versus the U.S.?
It is different. You know, in Canada, you get certain markets where they're quieter, like Montreal. They're quieter, right? They're more I wouldn't say knowledgeable, but, you know, they're very, very biased. They cheer for their team, and that's it, right? And they get on them hard, too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, then you come to Minnesota, same thing. That people don't realize, well, Minnesota is the same thing as being in Canada, like Toronto. Like,
and when I was in Minnesota.
Yeah, they're tough. And, like, during our playoff run, I did not look at a paper. I would not look at a paper. Whether I played great, whether I played bad, because, you know, one day they got you on the pedestal, and next day they got you on the chopping block, right? And that's the market. When you're playing in a hockey market, that's what you get. And, you know, when you're talking about the fans, like, I played in Tampa, and just like almost any other city that you play in, when you're playing Toronto, you end up playing a away game. But, you know, we had a lot of snowbirds in Tampa, so, you know, a lot of Toronto fans and a lot of knowledgeable fans. And great credit to them, they've made that market work. And Mr. Vinnick is an unbelievable man, and he does a lot of great things for the community. And they sell pretty much every game, and give them credit for doing it. And, you know, the only two tough markets right now is Florida and Arizona that, you know, it's not fun to play in.
Yeah. You know, as we sit and we watch a junior A hockey practice, and your sons Brett and Ross are taking part in that now, and they're playing at the junior ranks. When you look back at all your NHL memories that you had in your career, how does it feel now to have it come full circle and watch your sons play at a high level?
Yeah, it's great. And I think, you know, when you look at it and look back at it, it's all a lot of this credit goes to the coaches that I had. You know, like Jacques Lemaire and Guy Boucher, Lindy Ruff, you know, all the coaches that I had, Craig McTavish, you know, when the kids were old enough that they could skate on the NHL ranks, and GM and Anaheim Bob Murray, like, we'd go on after practice, or we go on in the evenings if they didn't have anything, and go on to the main rink. And, you know, and that sort of got them into, you know, this is awesome. This is exciting, right? And, you know, so give them a lot of credit. You know, it gets them engaged in the game a little bit more, and they're allowed to be around the players in the locker room. I just remember in Anaheim, the boys come in, our first year there, the boys had an option. What do you want to do for spring break? First year, Brett's like, I want to go help Sluggo, who was our equipment guy in Anaheim. I want to go help Sluggo for the week. Ross, I want to do surf camp. Well, the next year, Brett had so much fun and working with our trainers. Ross, that's what he wanted to do. So, you know, that's the part of when I look back is like, yeah, it's great that they're playing, but they're probably playing because these guys allowed them to be a part of something that not too many kids get to be a part of.
Absolutely. Now, Brett's a 20-year-old, and he's committed to play at Lake State next year in NCAA hockey in the States. And your other son, Ross, is an 0-3, so he's got a few years left on his junior career. Now, neither of the two sons, we have one a forward and one a defenseman, neither followed in your steps as being a goaltender. Was that disappointing, or was that a relief for you?
It was a relief. You know, it's... When we talk about it now, like even Brett going to Lake State, you know, he was a little hesitant of committing there. I said, why would you? He goes, well, wouldn't you want me to go to Lowell? I said, no, I don't want you to go to Lowell. Like, I want you to make your own name. Like, I don't want you to have to live in my, you know, whatever I've done in the past. Like, no, create your own life. You know, you don't have to go to law. You go do your own thing. And I think, for them, it would have been a lot of pressure if they were goaltenders, right? And, you know, I got some funny stories that I'm not going to tell over podcasts why they're not goalies, but, you know, they're not goalies. And I didn't even get to shoot a puck at the head to scare them or anything like that to scare them out of the net. So, but, you know, I'm happy for them. They love what they're doing. They love the position that they're play and they push one another, and you know, for me as a parent, I'm just happy they're happy.
Now, you spent a week here watching your son's practice and play some games this weekend, and What kind of pride is it to sit and see them living out their dream, which was actually the same dream as you had?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fun and enjoyable. We're fortunate that, Coach Wagner knew them in the past, and he used to teach them power skating when we lived in Stillwater, and, he realized that they're down here and traded for them. So, for them, they're just happy to be in a good organization with great fan base, great facility, great city, and a great coach, right? So they're happy to be a part of it. And for me, I'm glad that they're happy and they're getting better. And they got an opportunity that most people in Canada don't have right now. And that's, hockey across the country is pretty much shut down in Canada except for the NHL.
Hopefully that gets going back soon, but I guess, safety is the biggest thing right now. I saw you play in the Heritage Classic for the Oilers in the alumni game. And how fun was that experience? And do you still strap the pads on once in a while?
The last time I strapped the pads on was that game.
Really?
So I play out, a bunch of guys, where we lived in Victoria, BC. Bunch of guys there, ex-NHL guys and college guys and junior guys. We play every Thursday night and same group of guys. So I play out and, for me, I got through a career, long career with one major injury and being able to walk around and do stuff that I want to do. Without any problems, I don't want to risk that now. So I know the Wild were supposed to have the outdoor game this year. I was going to potentially try to get back in the gear and do some stuff, but not now with everything being shut down. But if that opportunity were to arise again, then yeah, I would strap them on for something like that. But, the outdoor game in Winnipeg, Brett actually came over, so it was great. So be able to enjoy that with Brett. He came, he hung out in the locker room and did a bunch of the sticks and stuff like that with the guys there. And then after the game, we're up, we're all hanging out in the locker room, and then we have a team meal and functions with the Jets and all this stuff. And the next thing Mr. Cage's boy and Wayne's son, they're like, "Brett, what are you doing?" "Nothing." "Because you guys want to go skate with us?" "Yeah, sure." So now we got to find them skates. First guy to step up, Mark Messi. "Hey, Brett, use mine." And that's wow. The things about the Oilers that you hear stories, but that's what they're all about. And sorry, getting a little choked up here because I'm thinking about Joey. And but it's a true organization that everyone cares for one another. And Hall of Famer, arguably one of the best players in the world, say, "Here, take my skates, right?" So they hung out for a couple hours skating at the rink, in the outdoor game, right? And, it was fun. Then we went to the game the next day. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I toe-picked over there," or "I went up bar down from over there," during the game. He was able to talk about it and relive it. So it was fun. It was enjoyable for myself, and I'm glad Brett was able to experience it.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about hockey. It's not just the action on the ice, it's the friendships and the relationships that a person builds through this great sport. Do you still follow the NHL now?
Yes, I do. Obviously, with the kids, they're pretty involved with what's going on, and so they update me a lot more. Usually, I'm pretty busy with other things, but I do try to watch. I still have some vested interest in certain things that are going on in the NHL and certain players, so I try to watch them, especially guys like John Gibson and Freddie Anderson, who I coached, and Anton Khudobin, who I've coached in the past. So you try to follow them, see how they're doing, and want to be available, be able to help them if they need it.
Any plans for future work in the National Hockey League for you?
Yes, you know, now that the boys are at that age, I felt, you know, working in Anaheim was the right thing for me at the time. But at the same time, I probably should not have been a full-time guy with the kids being as young as they were. So now the kids are 20 and going off to university, then Brett Ross will be 18. He'll have a couple more years of junior hockey before he goes to university. And, you know, I think it's time for me to get back in the game. They're at their point now where I could sort of leave them and not worry about much, other than what they're doing in school.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it'd be time for me to get back in if there's an opportunity, and, you know, keep looking. But at the same time, it's got to be a two-way street. Teams need to want you too. So, you know, I've been working with the Western League team in Victoria the last 4 years, so pretty much wearing every hat except for head coach and GM, but scouting, player development, return to play protocols, skill development with our players, then bunch of the goalie stuff, and then being an assistant coach on the bench and up in the stands or up in the sky. So just pretty much doing it all and having fun and enjoying it and trying to give back to some of these junior guys who are, you know, that's their goal and aspirations is to play in the NHL and try to help them have success in their career.
Well, I really appreciate you taking time to join me today, and it's fun to meet you and get to talk hockey with you. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Inside Edge Hockey News, dropping the gloves and stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news. As a few things happen over the week. Seems like old hat every day. Ryan and Shillington are moving up from the taxi squad to the roster, and that is saving this team cap money. It's going to help us. It's going to help us out a lot. Dylan Dubé injured in Monday night's game versus Vancouver. It does not appear to be serious, according to coach Jeff Ward. He is day-to-day. I was wondering a little bit today, did practice on line rushes, Mangiapane was up on that first line, and I wonder if maybe that is an in preparation for that game against Toronto where Dubé may not be ready to go. We'll find out more Friday, Saturday on where that all plays out. Hopefully that is a quick injury and something that he can get through quickly, because he's been good so far. He's been real good. Matthew Tkachuk missed practice on Tuesday due to maintenance. He looked like he may have been injured on Saturday night's game against Vancouver on a hit with Edler. And I'm not sure. I'm only speculating there. Hopefully that is also nothing severe. We cannot afford to have Mr. Tkachuk out of the lineup, because he's definitely an X factor and makes those odd things happen on the ice. Two signings. Michael Stone re-signed, defenseman, 1 year, $700,000 to a 2 year or 1 year two-way deal. He did clear waivers the next day, was assigned to Stockton. I got a feeling we're going to be seeing him on the taxi squad as an insurance plan. Absolutely love this move. Have talked to the pod, I've talked on the pod many times about it and how important I think it is to have a guy like Michael Stone in case we do have injuries on the back end, which often happen and often sneak up in a short season like this, when you can have a veteran presence that steps in like he never missed a beat. You gotta love having a guy like Michael Stone there. Brett Ritchie also signs on a PTO and now has signed a contract with the Flames. Also a 1 year deal, $700,000. It's a two-way deal. He has cleared waivers, was assigned to Stockton. I got a feeling we'll see him on the taxi squad real soon also. In the division, where is the North at? Man, it is jam-packed. It is busy as we wake up on a Thursday morning. Montreal sits atop. They've played four games, have 6 points. Toronto in second with 6 points also. They've played five games. Calgary in just three games has managed to put up 5 points, which is the highest percentage winning in the North Division. Winnipeg sits in third with 4 points in three games. Edmonton in five games has accumulated 4 points. Vancouver in six with 4 points in five games. And Ottawa has just played three games just like Calgary. They've managed 3 points. Now, there has been some injuries
throughout the league or throughout the division, as we're just talking North Division right now. Edler Hamonic left last night's game against Montreal with injuries for Vancouver. We'll see how severe those are. Joe Thornton left the game versus the Oilers on Wednesday night. The Leafs experiment with him, they hope, is not cut short with an injury, as he looked kind of awkwardly with his, looks like an upper body, left arm issue. We'll see how severe that is. Patrick Laine has not played since game one against the Flames, and he is believed to have a hip injury. No word on how long he'll be out. The Canucks-Canadiens game on Wednesday night. How many of you watched that game? 6-5 shootout win for the Habs, and this game was ridiculous. It was a back-and-forth crazy game. Both coaches had to be going absolutely bonkers with their defensive play. Untimely penalties, and it was like Vancouver score, Montreal would score. Vancouver would score, Montreal would score. Vancouver get the lead again, Montreal would score. It was back and forth. It ends up going to a shootout in which Vancouver gets a much-needed 2 points, because, boy, they'd have probably burned that city down without those 2 points on Wednesday night. Well, another thing in the North that's going to be interesting is when you're all playing each other, you're going to see a lot of three-point games, because there's a lot of teams that are close in quality in this division. But what else will that do? That'll jam that division up, and it's going to create good hockey throughout all 56 games. Another thing it'll do is when you're playing in the division, you're going to have opportunities to rise up the division standings much quicker, because you're playing your opponents, you're chasing. It's going to make for great hockey this year. This season is going to be amazing. If we can have everybody stay COVID-free, which has been pretty good in the North Division, there's been some problems throughout the NHL, but for the most part, the North Division's been good. Let's knock on wood. Let's keep that going. Not suspension, but fine handed down to a North Division team. Elias Pettersson was fined $3,987.07 for Monday night's slash on Sean Monahan of the Calgary Flames, where he slashed him in the upper chest. When I first thought, I thought, oh my gosh, that is horrible. It was bad. I thought it was really bad. Of course, Vancouver fans were immediately saying it was accident. Then they were saying that it wasn't that bad. It was overreaction. It's not that bad. But it is bad. This was a dirty play. And he got no suspension for it. I'm not going to sit and rant and complain about it for a long time. But I'm going to reverse the roles. Matthew Tkachuk does that to Elias Pettersson, what happens? Exactly. Matthew Tkachuk gets suspended. Plain and simple. I'm interested to see if there's anything that comes out of that. If there's a little bit of tracking down of Pettersson and letting him know that the Flames haven't forgot about that. Because I thought it was a really dirty play. On to the listener question. This week, my listener question comes from Estevan Steve Simonson. Hopefully I pronounced that correct. When will we see David Riddick start a game? Well, I looked at the game schedule, and I would say we'll probably see him next Thursday night against the Habs. Now we play Sunday against Toronto. We'll see Markstrom. I think Tuesday against Toronto, we see Markstrom again, but I think maybe next Thursday would be our first time to see David Riddick. And who knows, maybe it wouldn't be then. The second time I think we see him is that second night of the back-to-back against Winnipeg, which would be a little while from now. It would be a Tuesday night game. He's not going to get a ton of games, I don't think. I don't think Markstrom wants to relinquish it. And quite honestly, when he's playing that well, unless he's showing fatigue, I mean, yeah, we need to get Markstrom in so we have him seeing game pucks. But, it's tough to pull a guy like Markstrom out right now. I think Riddick will play less than 20 games this year. He's a very capable backup. But, you know, when you got a guy like Markstrom, boy, it's hard to pass the torch in a frequent basis when you're having the success Markstrom and the Flames are having.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, we finally get Flames hockey again on Sunday. Let's preview the game. Sunday, Toronto Maple Leafs come to the Saddle Dome. It's a 2 p.m. Mountain start. Boy, I don't like those dang games, but we don't know how much we can do. Toronto currently sits 3-2-0 in second place in the North. Calgary in third place at 2-0-1. Leading scorers for each team, Marner with 6 points for Toronto, Gaudreau with 4 for Calgary. Gaudreau leads goals, Marner leads goals also, 3-2. And Freddie Anderson and Markstrom have been seeing the bulk of the work for the teams. Goals per game, Toronto's at 3, Calgary 3.67, which is amazing. If we could even keep it close to that this year, we're going to be in good shape. Goals against average, Toronto 3, Calgary 2. Power play, both power plays have been very good. That is definitely one thing that both these two teams have going, and that'll be interesting to see if we can stay out of the penalty box on Sunday, as both teams are clicking off at 37.5%. Penalty kills, Calgary outstanding at 91.67. Thank you, Vancouver Canucks. And Toronto's is at 80%. Special teams will be important during this series. The Maple Leafs do play Friday night in Edmonton on the way to a game Sunday in Calgary. We back that up with game two of the set on Tuesday, the 26th of January, when Toronto again plays at 7 p.m. at the Saddle Dome. Then the Flames head out east for their first major road trip as they head to Montreal for Thursday, Saturday, hit Winnipeg on the way back for a three-game set that first week of October. We have had 5 days off now of hockey, and boy, when we get back at it, it is going to be back at with guns a-blazing. Speaking of guns a-blazing, we all had a great time on Saturday night with the Hot Mic Game of the Week, and we're going to be back to do it again. Let me tell you a little bit about what the Hot Mic Game of the Week is. One game a week this year for the Flames, you can join me for a Flames watch party. We'll talk Flames hockey, we'll complain, we'll bitch, we'll cheer, we'll have a little fun. Last week we got talking some history of Flames hockey and some favorites, players, and things like that. It's great fan interaction. You can win some prizes. Watch Twitter. I'll put messages out when we're going to do it. The next game we're going to do it, January 26th, Toronto at Calgary. That Tuesday night game, we can do it. How do you do it? You grab your iPad or your iPhone or your Android, download the Hot Mic app. Set up a free account, or set up account. It's totally free. It's easy to do. Search Flames. Just the word Flames. You'll see the Flames Unfiltered group come up. You follow that group, join that group, and you'll see a viewing schedule. You'll see the Toronto game up there for Tuesday night, and then you're in. Come on, watch with us, have a good time, interact. We had a great group of listeners and fans on the last one, and we're going to give prizes away. This year we have a Blasty jersey contest going on. Yeah, you can win yourself a Blasty jersey. How do you do that? Well, you connect with Flames Unfiltered on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Give us our likes and follows. Join the Hot Mic Party Tuesday night. Pick who scores the first Flames goal, and you're entered in for an end-of-the-year drawing to win a Blasty jersey. We're doing about 15 games this year, so if somebody guesses it right every week, which will probably won't happen, you'll have a 1 in 15 chance of winning a Blasty jersey. We had a winner last week, Sean Monahan, won a nice lady an entry into this. So we have one entry in for a Blasty jersey, hoping on Tuesday night to do it again. And we also, each game, somebody who's on interacting with us wins a prize. We have a prize package. We give away a set of 2021 Upper Deck Flames hockey card sets to just a random participant who joins us on the watch parties. These watch parties are a blast. They're a lot of fun. Tuesday night, you know what? When you sit down to watch your Flames, make sure you have your phone next to you and click on Hot Mic and join the crew. All right, guys, we made it through another big time episode. That was a fun one. Next week, we'll recap that Toronto series and prep for a big series out east in Montreal. There'll be lots to talk about next week. Interesting to see how this Toronto series goes. Enjoy your busy week of Flames hockey, as we've had a little break, and man, I'm ready to get back at it. Stay safe, stay healthy. A big thanks to Rolly the Goalie for joining us. Dwayne Rollison, very fun talking to him on today's show. Thank you to all the listeners. We truly appreciate it. Help us out on social media. Follow us at Flames Unfiltered. Subscribe on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey News. And rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Enjoy your Flames hockey. We'll see you next week. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.